We're talking with Bob Newhart, of all people, and I got to say it again. Hi, Bob. And he's coming to the Widener Center Saturday, November 23rd, 7:30. Tickets still available. Bob, you're in a movie with Steve McQueen, and you're in a movie called Elf. You know? It's hard to reconcile the two of those.
I'll tell you what happened with Steve McQueen. I was in New York. I was doing a Sullivan show. And a writer came up to me, someone called and said, we'd like, this guy has a movie and he'd like you to be in it. And so I met with him, and his name was Bob Pirosh, and he'd written this war story, and I guess he had been through it. I never found that part out. But anyway, they pulled a whole division out, and I think it was the Battle of the Bulge, and they left a squad of men. But it was the job of the squad of men was to make it sound like they were still a division.
Yeah, right, okay.
And so I was on the telephone, and we knew the Germans had tapped into the telephone, and so I was explaining to them, please don't send any more men up here. You know, we don't know where to put the ones we have already. You know, trying to convince the Germans that there was still a division there. So I always call it a kind of a lighthearted look at World War II, you know.
You were the comic relief for the Battle of the Bulge.
So then, like 2 years later, this thing came, but Steve McQueen was in it. And originally, I think it was a Bobby Darin movie. I think that was the plan, because I know Bobby and Steve really, they didn't get along at all.
Okay.
And also, I was trying to get killed, because my money had gone up in nightclubs. And since I first signed for the movie, and so the director was Don Siegel, who did a lot of Dirty Harry movies.
Yes.
And so I would go up to him and I'd say, Don, you know, when the tank comes over the rise, like I could trip and fall and it could run over me, you know, because I wanted to get out of it and get the nightclub money, you know.
Yeah.
And he's no, you're into the end. You're into the end of it. So. It was kind of a hybrid. It was, once Steve got into it, then it was a man against the machine, you know.
Sure.
It was interesting. It was my first movie. I never thought in my life I'd ever do a movie. You know, that was the furthest thing from my mind.
Let's jump forward a few years now to the original Bob Newhart show set in Chicago with a tremendous ensemble cast of characters. We recently lost Marcia Wallace. Tell me about her.
Oh, dear lady, she was so talented and she was so nice, and we remained friends over the years.
And in that same show, also gone now, Suzanne Pleshette, she seemed like such a dear heart.
Oh, she was great. Susie, when I did Newhart with Murray Fran, I told him, I said, Murray, you've got one of the toughest jobs in the world, because Susie and I had a chemistry, and it's you're going to get compared to her, and it's tough because she was so good, you know, and that's a hard thing, is the people who aren't there anymore. I think about them. When I got the Emmy, I was thinking about, you know, Susie and Tom Poston and Murray Fran and John Fiedler and Florida Freebus, all now Marcia, the people that aren't there anymore, you know.
But to compensate, you did get to work with Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
That's true. that took my mind off it.
and one of the great characters of all time on television, at least in the supporting role, was Mr. Carlin.
Oh, I just saw Jack last night.
Did you?
Yeah, Jack's in a wheelchair. He was misdiagnosed. He had water on the brain, and it was misdiagnosed as MS. But his sense of humor is still there. Mr. Carlin, I should have been arrested, because I never helped anyone. I mean, Mr. Carlin, 6 years later, was more screwed up than when he first came to me. You know, they should have pulled my license a long time ago. I never helped anybody.
Oh, but you helped us all laugh, Bob.
That's right.
We're talking with Bob Newhart. He is coming to the Widener Center Saturday, November 23rd, 7:30 show. Your portion of the show is all you.
Yeah, that's what stand-up is, yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do this after all these years, I'm sure. I mean, your psychiatry business was good to you, and you sold the inn and made some money, presumably.
All right, I'll tell you a story about you don't have to do this. when I was first starting out and the album came out, and I was getting a lot of calls to do this show, and so I did the David Susskind show.
And it was
Buddy Hackett and Alan King.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Milt Kamen, anyway, and myself. So I represented, like, the new guys. So Buddy said to me, I had never met Buddy. Buddy later fixed me up on a blind date with my wife, we just celebrated our 50th
congratulations.
In January.
Wow.
So David Susskind said to me, he said, you have a degree in accounting. I said, yes, David, I do. And Buddy said, you mean you don't have to do this? I said, no, buddy, I have to do this.
That's hysterical. Oh, he was classic.
Yeah.
Then
let me tell you one Larry Dill and Daryl story, because we did our show in front of a live audience.
Yes.
Which told us that, I mean, their reaction after the show, we said, we've got to have these guys back, because the audience reaction was wonderful. So anyway, we found the body of a witch who had been buried at the Stratford Inn, and I had to get it out of there. It was driving Joanna crazy.
Yeah.
So I called this number, anything for a buck was the name of the company. I talked to Bill, and I said, I need something like today. He said, well, we're really backed up. He said, we got a lot of, you know, we couldn't get to it till next Thursday. He said, but just out of curiosity, he said, what is it? I said, well, we have a dead body buried in our basement. He said, we'll be right over. So he came in, and I said, how are things? He said, I threw my back out last week. I was crawled under house. And I said, oh, that sounds like rough work. He said, it wasn't work. I just enjoyed crawling under houses. So that was our introduction to Larry Dill and Daryl.
That's classic. That's just classic.